Thank you. All righty. And Brother John, are they down there, the teens? All right, Lucas, go ahead. Okay, perfect. All right, there you go. Amen and amen. All righty. If you have your Bible this evening, Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11, and thankful for those great hymns of the faith and the opportunity to sing about gathering together with the people of God, and obviously one day there'll be a great reunion over yonder, and what a day that will be, amen, and we praise the Lord for that, and then, oh, how I love Jesus, and we know, even as the song says repeatedly there, we love Him because He first loved us, and we understand that truth from 1 John, and what a great blessing to know the love of God. You know, there's people all around us and all around the world that do not know the simple truth that God loves them. They just absolutely are not aware of it. No one's ever told them. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a missionary. And that reminds us something that we sing about that we sometimes just take for granted, something that we know. And we, of course, are thankful to know the truth, but we ought to be burdened to ensure that others would know the truth as well. Hebrews 11 will be in verses 23 through 27 this evening. And I'll read the text of Scripture. We'll get in the message tonight. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. On Wednesdays throughout the calendar year, we've been dealing with this idea of a longing to see God work, this desire on the part of God's people to see God do what only God can do. And we've studied on Wednesdays now dealing with this subject matter throughout the year. It was planning to just be about a 3 or 4 week kind of mini series, and here we are in June still dealing with the same subject. And as we've gone through on Wednesdays, we've dealt with the fact that God is able to work. And what a blessing to know that God has as much power today as He's ever had. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we understand that what is it that would limit God? Well, it's our unbelief, our doubt. We find that the Bible says in Psalm 78 that they limited the Holy One of Israel. And we talked about dealing with doubt and unbelief in our lives and rooting it out and understanding that we have to live by faith. We have to believe that God is, that He's able, and we take God at His word. We believe what He has said, and we act in faith. We understand, as we've studied now throughout the year, we've mentioned many times, even here from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews in verse number 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It doesn't say without faith, it's hard to please God. It says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. There's something different between something being hard and something being impossible. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We find that it is the purpose really for us as God's people to live a life where He is exalted and magnified, where He is pleased. And we find that, no doubt, we have an enemy that desires to detour us and distract us. And really, we understand that the enemy desires to devour us. If we read 1 Peter chapter number 5, we understand that he desires to devour us. And I find that the enemy, he attacks, and he desires to attack us in such a way that we would not please God with our lives. He desires to attack us so that we would disobey the Lord. And I believe that the enemy is content when God's people are living lives of disobedience, because we live lives of disobedience and then God is not pleased and God is not able to bless and God is not able to do what God wants to do. And the enemy is content with that. He's content when we live by sight and not by faith. He's content when we're doubting. And I believe, as we'll look contextually here this evening, that really the enemy wants us as the people of God to live in fear. To live in fear. And there's a great difference as we look at the text of Scripture, really over the last few weeks as we've gone through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we've learned some extremely valuable lessons. In verses 17 through 19, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of having faith through the trials. And the reality is that trials will come in your life and in my life, and we deal with those trials. But God wants us to have faith through the trials. Sometimes, and it's sad when this happens, but a trial will expose the lack of faith in a child of God. And sometimes that trial comes, and instead of developing us, we find that sometimes it will detour us, derail us, and causes people. There's people that dealt with trials, and they stop living for God, they stop serving God, and that's never the purpose or the plan God's seeking to develop us. And so we talked about faith through trials. We see that the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, and the faith that he had, believing God, taking God at his word. We find last week we talked about faith for the future. We don't know all the specific details of all that's going to happen in the future, but God has given us an abundance of truth with regard to eschatology and the end times and various things that are going to happen. He's given us promises with regard to our own lives, that He's doing a work in our lives, and for those reasons we rejoice and we're to have faith. We're not to have over-concerned about the future and worry and all of those types of things. No faith for the future. And so this evening, as we look at verses 23 through 27, as we kind of transition into the era of time with Moses, I want to preach a message that I've titled, Faith Over Fear. Faith Over Fear. There's two statements that are made here in Hebrews chapter 11 that I want to draw your attention to. In verse number 23, the expression is used, and it's really talking about the parents of Moses. And it says in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And here's the statement, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then we see in verse number 27, when it's speaking of Moses here, it says, by faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt. Notice again the phrase, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So we see in verse 23, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We see in verse number 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. The word afraid and the word fearing that are translated for us in English, those are the same Greek word. And that Greek word that is used there to give to us the word afraid and fearing, that word literally means to put to flight by terrifying. It carries with it the idea of to scare away. So think about the tactic and how the enemy is working to cause the parents of Moses and Moses himself to flee from doing what God has instructed because of this fear. Fear is something that is an emotion that humans deal with. There are circumstances that you'll face, that I'll face in life, that can trigger a fear response. And we find that the word fear, I want to give you a couple of definitions from the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary about the word fear. It says that it's a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. As we're going to think about this word fear and thinking about here in verse 23 where it says of the parents of Moses, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. When it says of Moses not fearing the wrath of the king, I want to remind you this evening that almost 100 times in our King James Bible, it's 95 times that you'll find these expressions. In one way or the other, you'll see fear not. You'll see this one, be not afraid. And you'll see this one, fear thou not. So if God has recorded in His Word almost 100 times, fear not, be not afraid, fear thou not, we understand that God, He knows everything about us. He knows our frame. He created us, and He knows that there are times in which fear will be a response. And when fear is triggered, no doubt you've heard people use the expression, there's the fight or flight kind of response and various things. And sometimes, listen, when you're afraid, when you're dealing with fear, you find that you don't think rationally. Oftentimes you think extremely irrationally, in fact. You forget things that you should know. Right? You forget. Why? Because you got this fear. Sometimes fear can cripple us. And we find that fear comes in a variety of ways for a variety of reasons in the lives of individuals. But God, knowing all things and knowing that fear is something that we as humans will deal with, He says, "Fear not. Be not afraid. Fear thou not." So how is it when we think of Moses, when we think of his parents, and we think of Moses himself, and obviously as we get into the text of Scripture this evening, we're talking about the first few chapters of the book of Exodus. We're talking about individuals that lived at a time when they did not have what we have in a whole Bible, and yet we find that when the king made a commandment, when there was obvious wrath on the part of the king, there were some individuals, some people of the Lord that did not fear. They lived by faith. And so this evening, as we look at the context and we see what God reveals to us, we want to understand what God has given to us, but we also want to make some application in our lives. We understand God does not want us to have and to be controlled by fear. In fact, we understand that the Scriptures teach us, and maybe you this evening at some point have memorized this verse of Scripture for a period of time. Maybe there's something you're going through and you're dealing with, and you find that the Scriptures would teach us there in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7, "For God hath not given us," what? "The spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so we find that there are times in our lives where we will deal with fear, but God wants us to live by faith. So thus, we title the message, Faith Over Fear. Look at it with me. Number one, if you're taking notes, their circumstances. Their circumstances. We find in verse number 23, the end, the latter part of the verse, it says, "And they," speaking of the parents of Moses, "they were not afraid of the king's commandment." And so we begin to think about their circumstances. It's important for us to go back to the book of Exodus. So turn back there, if you will, Exodus chapter number 1. And I want you to see the circumstances that these parents were dealing with. We find that normally, and really in our era, in our generation, you think about a couple that's expecting. Maybe you can remember when you were going through that process. Maybe the Lord blessed you with children and you were in that place where you were anticipating the arrival of your baby, and man, there's excitement and there's joy and all of those emotions that go along and all of that, and you're looking forward with great anticipation for that day. And if you were like us, that day came and it went because they gave you a due date, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it was, I think Juliana was 10 days late, and I mean, it was just kind of Hollywood say, "I'm having some contractions, let's go to the hospital, man, I don't want to deliver." Somebody just had a baby, the Sotos, they had a baby, they got to the hospital, and in 6 minutes, the baby was born. That is entirely too close for me, man. Like, I am not having a baby in the car, we're not having the baby, no, we're getting to the hospital. And so we got over there, and we walked around, and they said, "Nope, false alarm, go home," right? We go through this, but there was anticipation. The circumstances in Exodus chapter number 1 were just difficult. The Bible tells us in verse number 15 of Exodus 1, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." That's a pretty serious situation. It really changes the whole mood and the whole idea about having a child, doesn't it? And you begin to think about what's going on. And so we find that these midwives, they didn't obey, and they tell the Pharaoh that the Hebrew women are lively and they're delivered before they get there and so on and so forth. And we find that in verse 22 that Pharaoh here, again, as you think about the phrase in Hebrews 11 and verse 23, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Notice in verse 22, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." There's some pretty adverse circumstances. They were the commandment was real, and understand, they were aware of the commandment. This was not something that was secretive. This was not something that just a few people knew about. They were aware of this commandment. And here they are, they're living in this particular time under these circumstances. And the Bible says by faith, and it says that they did not fear. It says that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We see their circumstances and we find here that this was a very real situation for them. In fact, Stephen, as he's preaching, we won't turn there and look at it, but in Acts 7, verses 18 through 20, Stephen references the same situation with regard to the circumstances that under which Moses was born. Now, can you think just for a moment? Now, we know the whole account, right? We know what happens. And sometimes it's challenging for us as New Testament believers, knowing the entire account, the entire life, it's challenging for us to understand what it was moment by moment. We know that Moses lived. We know that God used him. We know that. So sometimes we can read Exodus 1 and say, yeah, but he's going to live. You ever read a little book to maybe a child or a grandchild, and you're reading that book, and you've read it before, you know what happens in the book, and man, they're on the edge of the seat, and they're anticipating, and they don't know because they don't know what happens, and they're excited. Listen, they were living just like we live, day by day, moment by moment. The Bible tells us that they faced these circumstances. Difficult circumstances, circumstances that no doubt could cause people to fear, to be afraid, to function and operate under fear. But the Bible says by faith. And I begin to think about our own lives. I don't think for any of us this evening and the time in which we live currently, we're not going to face circumstances exactly like what the parents of Moses faced. I don't foresee anyone coming and giving a mandate that we're going to kill our babies when they're born. I just don't see that happening, at least not real soon. But there are circumstances that you're going to face, there are circumstances that I'm going to face that can trigger fear. This was a real situation. This was a real circumstance. And it says that they, in this situation, dealing with the circumstance, that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now understand the king, Pharaoh, how much power did he have? I mean, he had all the power, right? I mean, you don't obey him, then he can kill you. That's kind of the operation. That's how things work. And they weren't afraid. This evening, we look at that in verse 23 and see the circumstances. We consider Moses in verse 27. And as we think about that text of Scripture, really the Bible outlines for us several things that happen in between his birth and what we see in verse 27 with regard to him forsaking Egypt and not fearing the wrath of the king. And it talks about in verse number 24 that when he came to years, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we understand that. We can trace through the book of Exodus and we can see where he made that decision. We see that it says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Again, we can see how Moses in that transition and all that was going on and the choices that he made, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By the way, sometimes I think that we don't fully understand how serious the decisions were that Moses was making. He's making some really serious choices. He was leaving a lot of legacy behind, a lot of riches, a lot of opportunity. And the Bible says in verse 27, you get there by faith, he forsook Egypt Again, notice the circumstance is not fearing the wrath of the king. And I believe that that reference there, the wrath of the king, not fearing the wrath of the king, when you read through the book of Exodus and you read the life of Moses here in these early stages and think about the wrath of the king being Pharaoh, I think you really need to look at Exodus chapter number 10 and see contextually something that happens after the ninth plague, before that 10th and final plague. And there's this interaction that is recorded for us between Pharaoh and Moses. And in verse number 28 of Exodus chapter number 10, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more." And we see that this circumstance was real. Again, could Pharaoh kill Moses? Absolutely. He has that power. He has that ability. And it says that with regard to the parents of Moses, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. With regard to Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king. And the king's wrath could be serious and obviously detrimental, but the Bible tells us of their circumstances so that we can try to have an understanding of their faith over their fear. See, their circumstances again, and I really want us to get this tonight, because sometimes we live in fear. We live in fear. I said to the folks this morning, why is it that sometimes we don't share the gospel with people? Because we're afraid. We're afraid. Why is it that we don't take and step out by faith and trust God that what God has said, God will do? Because we're afraid. We can be afraid of all sorts of things, but God wants us to have faith, faith over fear. In these circumstances that Moses was facing, the circumstances that his parents were facing, these are serious circumstances. I mean, the stakes are high. The Bible says they live by faith. So we see their circumstances, but then we see their courage. Number two, we see their courage. I use the word courage, and we think about their courage in face of the fear that they could potentially respond to their circumstances with that fear, but they respond by faith. I would say that their courage is here. It's really faith being on display. We've spent much time this year, not only here on Wednesdays, but also on Sunday mornings, dealing with the subject of faith and living by faith, and how our faith is seen through our actions, that our faith is the evidence of our faith is our behavior. Because what you believe will impact how you behave. I'm reminded of this in Mark chapter number 2, and the record that's given there is of this miracle that many of us would be familiar with, and it's the man that's born of 4. And they were bringing him to Jesus. They could not get to the house because there are so many people there, and they went up on the rooftop and they let him down. And most of us would be familiar with that biblical account there in Mark chapter number 2. But I want you to think about what the scriptures tell us in verse number 5 there in Mark chapter number 2. It says, when he, Jesus, notice these words, saw their faith. How do you see their faith? Well, we know that he's God. He can see our hearts. He knows our thoughts. We understand that. But really, what's the text telling us? Well, their faith was seen through their actions. That's why James will say, you have faith? Show me your faith. How? Show me your faith by your works. And the expression of our faith, and we see their courage. And what is it? How is their faith displayed? Well, we see in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, notice here it is, was hid 3 months of his parents. Why? Because they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so we find they saw that he was a proper child, the Bible tells us, but they hid him. Now, this is not an easy task, by the way. What do babies do? I mean, they do a lot of things, but one thing, they cry, right? How many of you know that babies cry? Amen. When do they like to cry? All the time, but there's a particular time, especially these infants. They like to cry when, Kimberly? She's shaking her head. When they're tired, but when else? At night, when you're tired and you want to sleep, right? How many of you know babies like to cry? How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, they just have their days and nights mixed up? You ever hear that? And they better get it unmixed. Like, let's get that thing straight, right? and they want to cry all night long. So I just want to paint a picture this evening. The Bible says that they hid him. He was hid 3 months of his parents. So think about this. 3 months. That's a long time to hide a baby. Now, I understand we're here June 3rd, and we think, man, it seems like it was just yesterday we turned the calendar for 2026, and it's already June. But I guarantee you, if you're trying to hide a baby for 3 months, it's going to feel like a really long time. Are you tracking? And I think the most difficult times would be at night. See, during the day, the baby cries, but people are kind of out doing their thing. They're busy. They're working. They're taking care of things, whatever. There's noise all around. But at nighttime, when people are sleeping and that baby's crying. See, this was the demonstration, the outworking of their faith. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so we see their courage on display. We see their faith through their actions. We find over in the book of Exodus, again in chapter number 2, if you read there in the few verses that begin that chapter, it provides for us a record of this. It says, and there went a man, there in chapter number 2 of Exodus and verse number 1, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And notice the truth in verse number 3. And when she could not longer hide him. Came to a point where this was just getting to the point where I can't hide him anymore. He's getting older. Things are taking place and so on and so forth. So what does she do? She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And you begin to think about what happens. And we know that the Moses is there, and we find that his sister is there and watching, and Pharaoh's daughter comes. And we understand the things that happen, but I want you to focus on their courage. They knew the king's commandment. They knew they had a son. They knew that the king said that if a son is born, you're to cast him into the river. But they lived by faith. Not by fear, by faith. And they hid Moses for 3 months. Think about Moses. The Bible says that he forsook Egypt there in verse 27 of Hebrews chapter number 11. It means to leave or depart from. And we find that really when you begin to think about Moses and you think about his courage and his faith, and we kind of tie this thing all together, if you will, you find that in Exodus chapter number 3, God begins to reveal himself to Moses in a very distinct way. We think about that burning bush experience as it's recorded for us in Exodus chapter 3. Notice in verse number 2, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Notice in verse number 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. In verse number 10, come now therefore, notice what God says. In verse number 8, he says, I am going to do this. I'm going to deliver my people out of the hand of the Egyptians. But in verse number 10, God says to Moses, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Now all of a sudden Moses is getting involved with what God is going to do. God uses people. By the way, aren't you thankful that God would allow us to serve him? The privilege, as we would look at the New Testament principle, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that as every man hath received the gift, even so let him minister, and we do it for the fact that God would be exalted and glorified. And we find that God informs Moses that, Moses, I'm going to send thee unto Pharaoh. But not only am I going to send thee unto Pharaoh, but notice he says that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God had spoken to Moses and said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, but I'm not just going to stop there, that thou mayest bring forth my people out of Egypt. Then in verse number 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he, God, said, notice this, certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So God tells Moses in verse number 12 of chapter 3, certainly I will be with thee. And he says this, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. So Moses is understanding that God's going to use him. God's going to do the work, but God's going to use Moses. And we find that it says, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, in Exodus chapter number 10, when we looked at it a few moments ago, when the Pharaoh, the king, says, you see my face, you're going to die. Where's Moses at that point? Is he in Egypt or out of Egypt? This is not a hard question. He is in Egypt. When he's with Pharaoh in chapter 10, he is in Egypt. Okay, are we tracking? I know it's Wednesday night. I know it's 7:40. It's been a long day, but this is they're in Egypt. Have they left Egypt? No. Are they serving God on the mountain? No. So we find that here when God tells Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do this through you. And here's the promise. So when we begin to think about the faith, the courage of Moses, listen, it wasn't that he didn't understand what the king said. It wasn't that he didn't understand the power of God, the power of Pharaoh. It was that he had a word from God. See, fear would cause you to think irrationally. Fear would cause you to forget some of the promises maybe that God had given you. But in that moment, he lived by faith. And what was the faith? Well, he was taking God at his word, believing, hey, God said he was going to use me to bring the people out, but we're still in. God said he was going to use me, and when we're out, we're going to worship on this mountain, and we're not there yet. So he operates in faith. Why? Because he's believing God. And what happens, the circumstances in your life and in my life are going to try to overwhelm us, that we begin to respond in fear and we think irrationally and we forget the promises of God and we forget the word of God, and then we're just a mess. We're not living by faith and we're not pleasing God. Do you see how that works? And so what we find here with Moses is that he had received a word from God. Not only had he received a word from God in chapter number 3, but in chapter number 4, God built his faith. That we find that God tells him there in chapter number 4, remember, he's dealing with some things. He says, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, throw it down. And what happens? It becomes a snake. And pick it up, and it's a rod again. And we find that he tells him about taking and putting his hand into his bosom, and he takes it out, and it's leprous, and he puts it back in, and it's clean. And we find that God's building his faith. Here's the question. How's God building your faith? How's God building my faith? So that when the circumstance comes, when there's a commandment, when there's wrath, when there's some kind of threat like we find that he dealt with there in chapter number 10, are we going to respond with fear or with faith? Think about the disciples. I preached about a little bit on Sunday, being filled with the Holy Ghost there in Acts chapter number 4. Listen, those guys, those religious leaders, those Jewish leaders of the day, they were trying to cause the disciples to be fear, to operate and live in fear. They threatened them. We find that they beat them. They imprisoned them. All of it was to cause them to operate in fear. But what do? Well, they trusted God. They said we can't help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. They said we ought to obey God rather than man. In chapter number 5, we find that they prayed for boldness at the end of chapter 4, and God answered, and they were able to see God work. They did not get crippled by fear. They did not forget what God had promised. And we see this evening, as we begin to think about these circumstances that Moses and his parents faced, and we try to make some application for us this evening as we look at these specifics in their lives. I don't know what the specifics might be in your life or in my life, but I know that God wants us to live by faith and not by fear. Think about this. We're going to use an example. Acts chapter number 18. Look there very quickly. In Acts chapter number 18, and I want you to remember, as we're looking here in Acts chapter 18, this is an example from the life of the Apostle Paul. And I want you to remember the words, just keep them in mind, of what God had told Moses in Exodus chapter number 3, "Certainly I will be with thee. Certainly I will be with thee." So we come to Acts chapter number 18. It records for us the ministry of Paul in Corinth. Just as the case was in many places where Paul ministered, there's some Jews that don't like the preaching. They get upset. They cause trouble, so on and so forth. We find that there's some that get saved. There's a kind of a mixed response. There were some that were saved and were baptized, according to verse number 8. But then we come to verse number 9. Of Acts chapter 18 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night vision, in the night by a vision." Notice the first three words. What does God say? Be not afraid. Why does God tell him, Paul, to be not afraid? Because there are going to be some things that are going to happen. There are going to be some circumstances that Paul's going to face that could trigger fear. So God says, be not afraid. And then God says this, but speak and hold not thy peace. See, what would fear do? It'd cause him not to speak. It'd cause him to not open his mouth. So God says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. And then notice in verse 10, he says, for I am with thee. What did he tell Moses in chapter number 3 of Exodus? Certainly I will be with thee. He says to Paul, I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 10, for I have much people in this city. So, verse 11, and he, Paul, continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews, notice it says, made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Now, that in of itself could cause somebody to have some fear. But why does Paul not respond in fear? Because he had a word from God. Because God said, be not afraid. Because God said, speak. Because God said, I'm going to be with thee. Because God said, I have met much people in this city. And we find that Paul, listen, he had this word from the Lord. Can I tell you this evening that we have a whole Bible? And God has given us the Bible so that we'd live by faith, so that we would not be crippled by fear. We've mentioned there with regard to Moses, certainly I will be with thee. There with Paul in Acts 18, for I am with thee. And we're reminded of this, and we'll close in Hebrews chapter number 13 this evening. Hebrews chapter 13, we're reminded of this glorious truth as the people of God. Listen, you're going to face circumstances. I'm going to face circumstances. There's going to be things that can trigger a fear response, but God wants you to live by faith. He wants me to live by faith. He wants us to believe Him. He wants us to believe His word, that He will do what He said. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said," notice what it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What's the impact of that? Well, verse number 6, "so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." What does it say? "And I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Faith over fear. The circumstances were real. The stakes were high. But the Bible says by faith. By faith. It tells us, as we look at those phrases, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. It tells us not fearing the wrath of the king. See, we need to have more fear of disobeying God than we do of what some human being says they're going to do to us. Does that make sense? See, we need to see God in his rightful place. We need to understand that our God's a consuming fire. We see even in Hebrews chapter number 10 that the Bible tells us there with regard to the fact that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, a living God, excuse me. And we think about that fear. Listen, that proper understanding of who God is. And listen, if I'm obeying God, if I'm living for God, I don't have to fear. But the king said, now I understand we don't have a king in America, praise God. But the king said, this thing's going to happen. Here's what they said. I got a word from God. God said this. Paul, you're going to be called down. You're going to stand before the, yeah, but God said, don't be afraid. God said he's going to be with me. God said he had much people. In this. Does it make sense tonight? When we're in fear, we live irrationally. And what happens is we forget what God has told us. We forget because we're living in fear. And we've responded in all kinds of ways. And in fact, many times if you begin to think about someone that's living, that's acting, you know, in fear, something happens and they're responding in fear. If that whole episode is recorded and then watched later, some people are looking, what was I doing? Why was I acting like that? Because you were afraid. Because you were afraid. Contextually, as we look at this and we see the examples of Moses and of his parents, oh, I hope that we'd be challenged this evening that we would live by faith. We don't face some of the circumstances that these folks face. I don't know all of the circumstances that we will face or that you are currently facing, but I know that God wants us to live by faith. He doesn't want us to be controlled by fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the examples that we have in your Word about those that live by faith. And Lord, we thank you for the record that you've given us there in Exodus and then the opportunity even to be reminded of that in Hebrews and to be challenged to live a life of faith. Would you help us, Lord? And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin? You did not get one on your way in?